You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
Same thing in life, that you have to start with understanding what is your goal, where is it that you're trying to go? And you really have to have a very strong belief system.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It's Jason Baum, Director of Membership at DevOps Institute, and this is the Humans of DevOps podcast. And I'm so excited to have you back here as a listener, and I'm extra excited today to be talking to Lanye Nicole Ford. So Lanye is CEO of Arlo Solutions, a minority veteran 8A HubZone-owned business headquartered in Washington, D.C., providing intelligence and cybersecurity support to the U.S. government. With 20 plus years experience supporting senior government and military officials, Lanye's quick wit to identify and solve complex problems, as well as her positive and astute business acumen, deems her a highly sought after tech executives and teaming partner. Lanye's commitment to Arlo, family, and community is none other than paramount. Lanye, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jason. What I will say is Lanye's bio is almost as impressive as your voice.
Well, thank you. Wow.
You have the perfect voice.
Thank you, Lanye. If you want, I will do this for you around the country. You could just have me, you know, walk in, give your bio, and then walk out.
I appreciate it. Like I told you, as long as I have some theme music, then we are good to go.
Oh, you got it. Definitely. All right. Are you ready to get human on today's podcast?
I am. And first, you know, thank you for these conversations. Thank you for inviting me onto the podcast. I mentioned to you before, this is not something I typically do. So I guess I'm a podcast newbie here, but I feel like I'm in safe hands and I am excited for the conversation. So thank you again.
We go easy. We one or two questions we'll throw in there that'll probably throw you off. But for the most part, we go taking easy on you.
Okay. I like the challenge. Right.
Yeah. You know, it's funny on this podcast. We don't really talk about the podcast much on the podcast, but, you know, we really do try to keep it human. The theme, obviously, is the human of DevOps, but we don't really talk about that concept enough. And I think that it's what makes it different is that, you know, we're not after technically the term paper. You know, we're not after the lecture. What we want to know is what makes you tick. And so I think that's a good place to start for this episode. Is tell me a little bit about your background. Where'd you grow up? And what was the first thing that maybe sparked your interest into kind of where you ended up? Or maybe it didn't. Maybe that came later.
So I am from Chicago, Illinois, the south side of Chicago. I'm very proud of being where I'm from, but I am more proud about the organization that helped raise me, which is the Air Force. So, you know, and they were two totally different environments. So, you know, coming from Chicago, you know, growing up in a, you know, predominantly all Black neighborhood, underserved community, and, you know, being around people that looked like me, that spoke like me, that talked like me, that moved like me, that listened to the same music that I listened to. You know, I guess was comforting and it was what I knew. And then I was transported into this crazy place called Aviano, Italy. That was my first duty station in the Air Force. And I was an anomaly and I had never experienced that before. It just shows you how small your little portion of the world is and how exposure is so important. So I start there to say that, you know, I got to where I am, number one, because I was exposed to other things, other people. It really opened my mind. And I think that's the first step in being successful or having a focus is really a shifting your mind. And so I think starting in the Air Force in Italy was a mind shift for me. So I couldn't say necessarily I knew where I wanted to be. I would say that I always knew that I was going to be successful. So I always knew that. I didn't know how. And I always had something internal that I want to leave people, organizations better than, when I got there. And I still have that same concept now. Wherever I go, wherever, the company goes, it should be, we should be providing benefit to you as a person. You know, sometimes that means, hey, were you feeling down? Did I make you laugh? How did I make you feel when I left? And so, that's always been, I guess I would say my mantra, but I think the turning point was really having access and just being exposed to what I was exposed to in the military. My first duty station, I was a help desk technician. So I started from the bottom in the IT field. It would be it. Tier one help desk is about where, is what I would say is probably starting from the bottom in IT. And I also was a cable dog. So I pulled cables through buildings. I created Cat 5 cables back then. So, but I think all of that grind, even from a career perspective, starting at the help desk was so helpful for me because it was still in alignment to what I like to do. People hated the help desk. I'm one of the people that I'm crazy. I usually like what everyone hates. They hated answering a phone. Everyone had an issue. I loved it because, again, I like to leave people better off than when I met them. So I had the opportunity, when you called the help desk, you were not happy. I didn't have to do much to make those type of people happy. So I think, that was in direct alignment again to my mantra. Then I went in, continued through an Air Force doing IT, like system administration work, and then transitioned to cyber.
Where do you think that drive came from? Like your mantra, I love your mantra. And it's like, I know I'm going to be successful. You say it, I'm like, I believe you, you're going to be successful. You are successful. But like, where does that come from? We get really personal.
No, I mean, I love it. And I love that it's thought provoking and it's not something I prepared to speak to, which means I always say, depending on when you catch me, especially if I have time to think about it, you're going to get a very direct answer. Sometimes good, sometimes bad.
That's good.
But I would say that, I think my childhood, the struggle, and what I had to, I didn't have a choice. There wasn't an option for me. I didn't have a fail safe. I didn't have this environment where if I didn't do well, someone was coming to save me or to help me. And so I had to be my own advocate. I had to be my own motivation. And, just very young, I knew that, I told you before, I struggle on how personal to get on things like this, because I always, I'm happy that we are talking about the human side of things. And I do think that hearing, stories can help motivate others. And it also helps me or the person speaking reflect on those things that you typically may not reflect on. But I think that, again, I think the struggle, I was young, I was, pretty much homeless when I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. And so I was in an environment that, I had to hustle. I had to hustle to eat. I had to, hustle to have, a roof over my head. And so that creates a certain level of resiliency. Those are situations is you have two choices in those environments. You're either going to fail or you're going to succeed. There's really no middle ground. And so I made the choice early on that the things that I saw around me was not what I wanted. Again, I hadn't been exposed, so I didn't really know how to dream big. I just knew I wanted to be successful. I didn't know what that meant. I'm going to be honest, it sounds crazy, but I remember being young thinking, oh my goodness, I'm probably going to have to like marry a rich man.
Yeah.
And you think about it because
it's a way out, right?
Yes, but it's crazy that at that time when I analyze that now, that means that I didn't even have exposure to women that were successful. There were no women that was doing what I was doing on TV. You know, I only saw Barbie dolls that were nurses, and I didn't want to be a nurse or a teacher, right? And so I didn't have exposure to successful women of any color. It didn't matter what color, you just didn't see it. There were no women in real women in politics. There were no women, you didn't see engineers that were women. Now it's different, right? With the internet, I guess I sound old, but they do have access to, you know, to be exposed to a lot of different things. But when I was young, that wasn't there. So I didn't know, I didn't understand the possibilities. And so, but I knew again that I wanted to be successful. You know, and that's really a tagline to people that's listening. Go out there and do it. You'll figure that shit out. Go and do it. And sometimes your path is illuminated as you're walking the path. And so I think that's what happened for me. I knew where I wanted to be. I just didn't know exactly how it looked or how to get there.
Yeah, that's so inspiring. And it's, yeah, I mean, I didn't even think of the fact that it's hard when you don't grow up seeing people doing what you want to do necessarily look like you.
Or
I mean, I remember when Kamala Harris was elected VP, you know, it felt so, for my own daughter, like I'm always thinking about her future. And yeah, the more people who break that barrier, those barriers, I mean, it's so important. And we've talked about that on this podcast. We've had, especially with women in tech, it's a conversation that,
yeah,
you know, it's had frequently. But I think, I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was my colleague Evelyn. I think she said it, like, when we're not having that conversation, it's just natural. That's when we've achieved like true movement. And when you're not really having the conversation because it's become part of the norm.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I mentioned this too, that I struggle with this type of conversation because in the rooms that I was in, I was already an anomaly. So I didn't want to go through and say, hey, you know, look at me, you know, guys, I'm a woman in tech. So it's almost like I really shied away from any conversations that were not about my knowledge, skills and ability. It was the only thing I wanted to talk about. But I also think now, you know, that I'm where I am in my career and I assess where we are, it's almost a disservice because there are people that's coming up behind me that maybe I'm one of the first Black female CEOs that you may see that's doing GovCon or that's from the trenches of Chicago, not middle class. Like you can see, you know, I want those young ladies out there that really are coming from nothing to see that this is a possibility and you can be who you are. You can wear braids, you can speak how you speak. I'd struggle with that. You know, I will go places and I will be speaking on panels and try to come because all of my colleagues, everyone I spoke to pretty much were, you know, was definitely a white male dominated field. So I would go in and try to speak like this and talk, you know, hi guys, I want to now. What happened was I missed the content because I'm so focused on being something that's not my authentic self.
You lose you in the process.
And so you're focused on being someone else when you should be focused on, again, your knowledge, skills, and ability. And so I think that this is an example to, you know, young girls out there that you can be who you are and your knowledge, skills, and ability can still shine. That still should be, you know, in the forefront. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm not necessarily, you know, very visible, I guess you would say, in a fight. You know, I don't go in and say, hey, I'm a woman or I'm African-American. I truly still will always lead with my knowledge, skills and ability, point blank, period. This other part for me is secondary. Well, others take that as their primary focus. That's not. That's secondary. I want folks to know that they can still achieve what they need to achieve, regardless of how you look. But your focus has to be your knowledge, your skills, and ability. And if you look like me, your knowledge, skills, and ability may have to surpass many of your peers just so that you are equal
to get in the door. I mean, absolutely. It's sometimes it's as simple as like what we teach our children, right? You know, like what we teach my daughter is we're all different, and that's a good thing. And absolutely. You know, and I do think that way, you know, when it comes to just my approach to meeting people is I don't want to meet the same people. That first of all, we're not all the same. Literally all of us have something that makes us unique. But a fair shake, you know, I just want, everybody should have a fair shake. And yeah, and it's, but that's not the case.
That's not.
And that's why we should talk about it.
I agree. And I also, we should talk about, and for me, everyone has a different path. So to be honest, that really wasn't a focus area for me. Now I'm saying in hindsight, when I assess kind of maybe why this was difficult or I didn't see people that look like me, but I can't necessarily say that in my journey, that was something I focused on. I truly focused on my knowledge, skills, and ability. I knew that I had to work harder and be smarter and be overly prepared, but that was just to me the you know, the nature of the beast, you know. And so I never really focused on what would be perceived as holding me back, and that's probably why it worked for me too, because I was sometimes I probably was oblivious to it, you know. I just, you know, I knew what I'm very goal oriented and I'm very intentional. So
you were focused.
Hey, humans of DevOps, it's Nixon here from DevOps Institute. I'm dropping by to share how you can skill up and advance your career with the DevOps Institute Premium Membership. Our goal is to empower you to gain the edge you need to advance your DevOps skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning. A Premium Membership gives you all access to what DevOps Institute has to offer. How does getting 30% off all certification exams sound? What about having access to a tool that can assess your team's DevOps capabilities? And if that wasn't enough, members can also read our entire library of skill books to support you during your DevOps journey. Get started today for the price of a cup of coffee by going to devopsinstitute.com/membership. Head to the link in the episode description to receive 20% off your DevOps Institute premium membership.
So, you know, usually I ask this question later, but I feel like it's so appropriate now because I want to know the answer. So what would you say to someone who's starting out, you know, who might be coming from a similar background or a different background, but has, you know, I guess, not the easiest path to getting to where they want to go. What do you say to that person? Do you tell them to kind of embrace that piece, or do you, like, what advice do you give?
I think the major, The primary advice, I'll say it this way. Okay, if there's two separate people, right, regardless of background, and you both got in a vehicle, you know, one person got in a vehicle, they have gas, they, you know, have their map, they know where their destination is. They know what stops they have to take along the way. Even if they just know their destination, it's about 9 times out of 10, they will make it there. Then you have this other person that gets in this vehicle, does not know where they're going, does not have the destination, does not have a map, and they're just driving around aimlessly. They will probably never get there. Same thing in life. That you have to start with understanding what is your goal? Where is it that you're trying to go? And you really have to have a very strong belief system. You know, I am a self-help junkie, so I read every book and listen to every audio. And there are so many different philosophies, but there's one thing that's all that is going to be common, a commonality between every philosopher, every book, and it is going to be a belief system. You know, it is going to be, I don't care how they say it. I don't care if they say it's what you reap, what you sow, you reap what you sow. I don't care if it's the, you know, the secret, you know, you become what you think you're going to come. If you're successful, if you say you're going to be successful, you're going to be successful. If you think you're not going to be successful, you're not going to be successful. So number one, really, you know, really think through and have a goal of where you want to be, or you will run around life being aimless and you will start conforming to the majority of the population that's not successful. But yeah, you know, conformity is a sickness. right? Yeah. And it's the opposite of being successful. But if you get to the point where you at a minimum know where you want to go and you're constantly reminding yourself, this is where I'm going. Like I said, I didn't know where I wanted to go, but I know I was going to be successful. There's nothing that you could tell me to make me think I wasn't going to be successful. I know my destination was success. And so everything when, you know, guess what I'm going to see? I'm going to start seeing what takes me to success. Same thing. You're like, hey, I want a Benz. You know, you may have not have seen Benz on a roll, but as soon as you say to yourself, oh, I wanted this C-class Benz, it seems like, oh, I see this Benz everywhere. You know, it's kind of what you start believing and thinking, you start seeing it. The road and the path starts, again, illuminating for you. So I would really say, you know, really devise a goal, you know, map out a plan. Don't wait to, and then be decisive and go after it. Don't be scared, you know, especially if you're young and you're starting, you have so many options to fail. Do it like Nike, just go out there and do it and try over and over and over again. Do not give up because you're going to fail your way into success. You know, the first thing that you try may not work, but you might fail your way into, you know, into something else. And that really could have been your calling or your path, but you need to go through what you did to get there. So, you know, that's what I would say, you know, setting goals, really, you know, mapping out a plan, you know, being intentional. And I will also say, listen, and what I mean by that is, you know, listen, listen to people, listen to, if you're walking in a room and, listen to the energy that you leave behind in the room. Listen to what people, the feedback that people give about you, because some things are transitional. And listen to yourself as something in, oh, I'm great with people. Or people will be like, oh my God, every time you walk in a room, you're so great with people. You're so, start thinking to yourself, okay, I realize I've heard this 4 or 5 times. I'm good with people. What could I do that I could still use this ability that I have. Okay, people are going to say, oh, you speak so well, or you know how to think that through. Listen to that feedback. And it's going to be things that you know that maybe you're not so good at. I'm definitely not a firm believer that you can do whatever you want to do. I think that you can do whatever you want to do that you put passion behind. But it's certain things, right? I'm not probably going to be Michael Jordan. Not probably, I'm not. You know, I can't do whatever I want to do, but you know, within the things and within my goals, I can reach what goals that I set as long as I put the right plan in place. I have passion behind them, and I go further than just my what I would consider my innate ability. So your innate ability may be I speak well, but then how do you take that skill set and take it to the next level? I'm great at this, but now you have to put some training around it. Mm-hmm. So those are things that I would say people need to think through. Number one, have a goal, think through a path, be relentless about it. You know, keep going, you know, listen to the feedback that you are hearing, listen to not only the feedback you're hearing, but listen to yourself, your inner voice. Those are things internally that, you know, I'm great at, or I want to do this, or this fulfills me. Don't discount your passion, because your passion can lead you in ways that, you know, skill set can't. Yeah.
I love what you said about conformity is a sickness. I think I'm going to use that line. I wrote it down. Yeah. You know, last week we spoke with Farshad Abbasi, and he grew up in the Middle East, and like he got into this business because his father bought him a computer, but they weren't allowed to have games because they were banned. And so he made his own. He created his own. And it was like, sometimes you just have that drive based off of what you don't have. It's like you aspire to have it. You want to have it. And so you have this drive. It's almost like entrepreneurs, right? They always tell entrepreneurs, get rid of that life net, like your day job. If you want to go do this, you get rid of that day job and make it all about, you know, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to lose your house, lose your whatever. You need that drive to be able to get there in order to be successful.
It's the truth. You know, we started, so Arlo, my partner, her name is Arlene. She's the R, I'm the low in Arlo. But we started our first 4 years, we didn't pay ourselves. We pay ourselves zero. the year five, I want to say maybe we paid ourselves $40,000-$50,000. So I, you know, it's entrepreneurship is definitely not glamorous. But to me, it's a certain level of, I hate to say it this way, but obsession that's required to be successful, especially depending on where, you know, where you're starting, what your foundation is. But it's a certain level of like doggedness. I can't stop. I have to do it. Not from external forces, definitely not motivated by money, because you'll give up on that. If that's your why, just to get rich, you know, I'm gonna go try to find some other, you know.
There's easy ways to do that. Yeah.
Yes.
My favorite is when people are like, yeah, I want to become an entrepreneur because I want to work for myself and I can have any hours that I want. I can work any hours that I want. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to be working like 12 of those hours to 15 of those hours to, you know, it's your whole day, your life, right?
Absolutely. It's, I mean, it's a level of obsession that really can't be described unless you're that type of entrepreneur. It's a level of passion, obsession that, you know, that's, you know, really required, especially in its infancy stage in the beginning. Yeah.
So after the Air Force, you know, did you go straight into Arlo, or how did you get into the cybersecurity? I mean, obviously in the Air Force, you were doing that mm-hmm. work, but how did that transition? What was that transition like?
So I always say I was in cyber before it was sexy. But I left the Air Force with all this great training in cyber and in IT, and decided I wanted to go back to Chicago and get into the retail space. And so I went back and I became a general manager of a Sears.
Natural transition.
But again, I think it goes back to what I mentioned, that once you realize what your skill set is. Your skill set really is transitional. It is you making the choice on how do you want to use it. So for me, again, I like servicing people. I always have. It's just a part of my nature. I have been in retail like when I was younger, but I wanted to do it at a higher level. So I wanted to be like the general managers of Sears, and I didn't necessarily want to do Sears. I wanted to get to the point where I was in some, you know, amazing place like Macy's or something. But I started there. Before I move from that, I want to say my hat is off to all people in retail. Those are the most.
Especially right now.
Oh, let me tell you, they are, we do not give them enough respect. That is, those are some hardworking folks. And I definitely did not want to work that hard for that money, but my hat was off. I think everyone should start their career as young adults in retail or waiting tables. But
that's a crash course into people.
It is.
My very first job when I was 16, Kmart customer service front end manager. It was, or worked myself up to manager, but yeah, customer service at Kmart. It's a scary place, by the way.
Yes. Oh, and I came out of the military. So the Sears employee, they were not ready for me. And people think I am like this because I have my business. I can be overwhelming to people. I strive for excellence in everything. It's just how I operate. I drive my wife crazy. So I definitely drove the people in Sears crazy. And it was like, hey, I want people to come in and do a GI party and strip the floor. And they're like, wait a minute, I sell shirts. But then I left and I tried banking industry for a little while. I had to actually compete to get this job at a bank in Chicago. And I wasn't comfortable in the banking industry because, you know, the military had gotten me so focused on the mission, and your success is based off the success of the mission versus your success is always based off something monetary. And so I think transitioning from the military into the private sector was difficult for me in that way, especially banking, you know, trying to get people to sell products that sometimes I didn't think was ethical. And so that part was tough for me, and I had to do some soul searching. So then I came back to government contract, and I moved to the DC area. My first job was at DISA, Defense Information Security, agency, yes. And from there, I just did government contracting. So I worked for the DOD CIO, the Army CIO, and some of the major Army programs, and then Air Force CIO. Then I started my own company. And I met my partner through her husband, he and I were doing marketing work. So I also was doing club promotions in DC at the same time. And so my partner in the club promotion side was, he and I became good friends. He introduced me to his wife, which is Arlene. He kept saying, you know, you and my wife, you should talk, you all will hit it off. And I think maybe a week after we met, we were somewhere on a lemon drop martini. She's like, what do you do? I'm like, what do you do? And we just came up with this concept, and the rest is history.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yes.
That's awesome. So I guess, you know, what are you most excited about right now for the future of Arlo, for the industry? And, you know, what is your role in that? And yeah, I guess what gets you excited right now?
So what gets me excited on, I'll start first with cybersecurity. I've been doing this for a very long time. And the specific area that I focus on is risk management and risk management framework. So my focus area has always been, how do you assess systems and how do you authorize systems to, you know, to join a network, to join a larger enterprise? And so now, you know, as I continue to mature in my career, my focus has been like building the frameworks and policies. I work with on behalf of the Air Force to build the fast track ATO process. We're looking at how do we assess and authorize code coming from the cloud and maybe going to some of the government's aircrafts. And so the exciting part now for me is, so long cyber has been siloed, and cyber has been in its own bucket. We weren't considered a part of, they didn't look at us when it came to cost, schedule, and performance. We were that thing you tacked on that was so irritating. They hated to see us coming, you know? So I think what's exciting now is the integration of the different areas of not only assessing the authorized system, but building system, coding system, the operators, who's using the system. So there's a lot of integration. There's a lot of discussions going on that hadn't happened in the past. I think there's more respect for cybersecurity now and the importance of it. Now it seems so natural, but I'm telling you, for a very long time, it was not. It's very difficult to get decision makers and leaders to truly understand the importance of cyber. So that part is exciting to me. And it's also exciting because with having these new, this new energy and this integration, it's forcing us folks that have been in cybersecurity for some time to reimagine. You know, we're accustomed to speaking cyber language and cyber talk that no one else understands. Control AC, like, what the hell does that mean? How are you going to tell a decision maker what to do based off of a control number? So I think it's a forcing mechanism to get us to start communicating in English and, you know, bringing people into the fold. So all that is very exciting. And then, you know, the other part of excitement, I'm so excited about where Arlo is going. So excited. We have been grinding for so long. This year is the first year we've been taking the time to assess how far we've come. We just made Inc. 5000 for the fastest growing. Thank you. For the fastest growing private company. And we're number 153, you know, and I think we're number two in DC for the fastest growing company. And I actually get really emotional about that, because thinking about where we came from to where we are in the struggles and the confirmation that, I don't know, something about Inc. 5000 was it was confirmation for me. Not only that, you know, we're on to something. It's okay for, you know, the girl from Camden, which is my partner, this girl from Chicago, that, you know, I want to say almost that we made it. You know, we're not where we want to be, but it's confirmation that, you know, being ethical, having integrity, doing right by people, the grind and not giving up, it pays off. It really does pays off. The good guys really do, you know, the good guys really do. They don't finish last. That's not true. You know, and I think it was, you know, confirmation. And my partner always, she says that it's proof that, you know, the American dream is not so cliche. And I think we are an example of that. I don't even, I'm telling you, I get emotional when I talk about it. And the level of gratitude that I have, I can't even express it. So many people along my journey, and I say so many people have given me a helping hand, have given me words of encouragement, have opened doors. It's also confirmation of community. And we are here because of a community of people that also believed in us, community of people that gave us opportunities and chances that opened the door for us. We're in the process of starting a mentor protege program with Deloitte, which is, you know, just monumental. And we've grown even by at the end of this year drastically in the last month. So it's so many exciting things that's going on for Arlo. And we have some amazing employees that's committed to this vision and, you know, and some amazing clients that allows us, you know, to really tackle the hard problems in ways that we want to tackle them, which can be pretty unique. So I'm very excited about the future of, you know, the future of Arlo. Very.
I mean, congratulations on everything. It's, and you know what? It's, I think, and not to analyze, validation, it's the validation that you feel, right? It's validating that motto, that driving statement that you said at the very beginning of the podcast, you know, I'm going to be successful. And, and I mean, you're validated in that clearly, which is awesome. Yeah. And that's not, it's not every day that we get that. And so I think that when you do, it's pretty special. So congratulations on everything. And, you know, especially, you know, having to go through hardship to get there, it's not easy. So, you know, it's awesome. And this was so inspiring to me. I'm inspired. I'm ready to go out and do something. Maybe not start my own company right now, but I don't have that mentality, but I'm always fascinated when I get to talk to people who do, because I think it's so inspiring.
But what you're doing is allowing a platform for people to be inspired. Mm-hmm. You know, that's huge. That's, again, in this space, you mentioned it when you started that you're looking at the human aspect of this. We don't really focus on human aspect when it comes on the IT side, especially if it's government, DOD. You don't talk about those differences. You don't bring those up. And so what you're doing is transformative, because these folks out here, we exist, but if there's not a platform for people to hear it in this context, from this perspective, you know, you're really not transforming lives, right? And, you know, and this forces us to assess. I haven't sat down and had these conversations, mostly because I'm looking at how great Arlo is doing and we're talking about it. But to be honest, 15 minutes after, you know, it's announced that you did great, there's a new problem and a new issue. Yeah. So you transition so quickly that you don't have time to really think, you know, and to sit in, sit in gratitude. And that's what I'm working on too. I'm great at hustling. I'm great at that. Now, how do you thrive? Right. And that's that takes a different skill set and a different part of your brain to work on thriving. But I think what you're doing is, again, transformative. I'm grateful for having the platform to do this. I'm grateful to you that you are allowing the opportunity for maybe some young person to hear this, not only me, but, you know, whether it's a person that was in gaming and didn't have the laptop, that couldn't have games on it, whatever it is that resonates with that person, you're providing that conduit. So, you know, that's amazing. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And honestly, if We all approach things with a different lens. And I think that the more we understand each other and where each other came from and not afraid to have those conversations and really get to know each other, you know, hopefully we put a little bit of kindness back into the world, a little more understanding, and then, you know, we could cut through the rest and just get things done and have fun. Absolutely. Doing that. Doesn't that sound like nice?
It does.
It sounds like a nice way to do it. It sounds so simple too, but exactly. For some reason we complicate it.
We do.
I mean, okay, so that this was such a great conversation, Lanya. This is a question that I ask at the end of every podcast. I feel kind of silly asking it because this was so good and we got so deep. I feel like we just got out of a session or something. and now I'm gonna ruin it with a silly question. But okay, so what's one unique thing about you that no one knows that maybe you've never shared? It could be like a hobby. It could be. So I'll share a few with you that we've had in the past while you think of yours. We've had actually a few people who have hiked the Himalayas. Hmm. We have had a few DJs, which was pretty cool. A former jazz musician. And so what is yours?
So I think I mentioned one of them a little earlier, but I'll reiterate that, you know, I was a club promoter, and, you know, and I also, and I still do that work, and my partner, her husband, you know, they own a venue in DC, and I have been promoting there for maybe like 8 to 10 years. So I still am in that scene and still promote. So I would say, you know, that's one unique thing.
That's awesome.
I love music. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if in another life, I probably was a rapper. I joke with people that, you know, Arlo Solutions, I say I'm a rapper. You can call me Duh Solutions.
I love that. We could spend a whole podcast talking about that, because everybody that comes on, we always talk about music because I'm into music. And it's shocking to me just how many people in this field are musicians or mm-hmm. love music or somehow have some kind of connection to music. I said we were going to start the Musicians of DevOps podcast or something, because I think we could talk about it all day.
I love it. And then my other thing is I love SoulCycle. I am a SoulCycle junkie, like fanatic. I go to SoulCycle like maybe 4 or 5 times a week. I'm not sure if people know what SoulCycle is, but it's, you know, when you're cycling, but you're really cycling to the beat of the music. Again, I like music. And the way that they do it is you're in a room, you know, it's almost like you have a DJ, it's dark, they're playing music, and you're just cycling your little heart out. But
where do you get all this energy?
That's what everyone
I'm so tired listening to you describe it. How do you have this energy?
So my other superpower is I don't need to sleep much. So I sleep about maybe 4 hours a day, and I can go, and I operate, you know, at very high frequency. Even I have a lot of energy, so I don't need much sleep or rest. I use all of the hours in the day that I can use. I pretty much use them.
I don't know how that is a superpower. That is definitely a superpower.
Now it's good to look at it that way, but I didn't used to think that. But yeah, it is. It's helpful.
Well, Lanya, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, sharing with us, getting deep, like truly being human. And I can't thank you enough. This was awesome.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for the invite. And again, the amazing things that you're doing.
Absolutely. And thank you. And it was absolutely a pleasure to have you on. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm going to end this episode the same as I always do, encouraging you to become a premium member of DevOps Institute to get access to even more great resources just like this one. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and most of all, stay human. Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.